Namaste. So in this series, we are taking a series of short subjects. The contemporary issues, modern problems, which we see here, from here and there and everywhere. And we have the solutions offered by the Western paradigm. That these solutions are inadequate is beginning to become more than evident. But still many of us either fall back upon that paradigm, or else we say that this problem is wrongly stated. But then, as Sri Aurobindo said, we must look at the problems of the world in the light of Indian thought and give solutions that are more lasting, more true. So in this series, one of the problems that we face, challenge we face, even recently we were facing, is free speech, freedom of speech. So recently we know that there were demonstrations anti-India, and when it was told that, well, so they said, well, we have system of freedom of speech. A lot of people speak about it like that. It's a different matter that freedom of speech stops when your own country is hurt. But that's a different issue. I'm not going into the hypocrisy element of human consciousness, which is so widespread. So is free speech good or bad in the light of Sanatana Dharma? Well, free speech is important. Why? Because it allows the mind to expand. So free speech to that extent is important, because if you stifle thought, if you stifle people from ability to say that the emperor is naked, then you don't grow. It, you know, that's what happens in certain Semitic religions. You can't speak against the church. You can't speak against, you know, the priest or the head priest. Now, that is not what we want. So there is a truth behind free speech. But what is this free speech in Sanatana Dharma? So we have these two elements. One is freedom and second is speech. Freedom in Sanatana Dharma is only possible, freedom in the true sense, only possible when we unite with the divine. That's why in the Western world, freedom is not understood that way. Freedom is either the vital freedom, I'll do what I feel like, but since it will create chaos in the society, so mind creates rules and regulations and says within these rules and regulations, you can exercise your freedom. And normally these rules and regulations do not apply to speech. So that's how the concept of free speech comes. Now, first of all, when we are living in the mental consciousness, absolute freedom is an impossibility. To try and speak about it or start governing life by that is going to create chaos. At the mental level, any freedom, mental and vital and physical level, will be relative. Relative means there will be a point where a red line, if you want to put in this modern language, which you cannot cross. So that red line, of course, will differ from people to people and one of the nation to nation. But one example that comes to my mind very beautifully is Shishupal's Vadh, the slaying of Shishupal. So in Shishupal Vadh, Shishupal starts abusing Krishna in Raj Suya Yagya, where actually there is nothing really Yudhishthira has called for the yagya. And he has asked Shri Krishna to be the main person. And he starts becoming abusive. It's almost like if you put in modern context, if people choose a head of state and other people elsewhere start having a problem with him. Isn't it similar? Why? Because Shishupal has nothing to do with the Kuru clan. He's a Chedi Naresh. But he has his problems. What is his problem? Because Kansa was killed by Shri Krishna. And Kansa and Shishupal and Jarasandh were going to form an axis powers of that time within India. These three were the axis powers. And two were neutralized. I think already by then, Jarasandh was also gone. Shishupal was the only surviving member of the axis powers. So he comes and starts using that occasion to hurl abuses. Now, Shri Krishna has given a word, promise. When he is born, there is a prophecy that when Shishupal, who will kill Shishupal? The person in whose lap when he goes, he will shed his extra arms, because Shishupal is born with some vestiges of appendages of limbs. So it's very strange. Actually, it is very nice if they are shed. But for Shishupal it means a doomsday. And Sri Krishna takes him in the hand and the arms are shed. This is of course a very symbolic story, but that's not, we'll not veer into that. So Shishupal starts abusing Krishna and Krishna quietly keeps counting. And a time comes when he has said that 100 sins I will pardon. He has promised Shishupal's mother. Why? Because he said, oh, you are going to kill him. He says, Bua, I am promising you 100 sins I will pardon. But 101, that's my red line. So he starts abusing. And when the 100 comes, he cautions him one last time. Shishupal, it's over. And then he hurls the 100th one. What are you going to do? And then he uses a language, abusive language. And lo and behold, Shishupal is slain. Now you see, it's very interesting there. Shishupal has freedom to speak. You don't like it, you move away. That's how the modern mind will say. Why Shishupal is slain? A man. Now there comes the speech aspect. A man whose speech is so foul, whose consciousness is so foul, and who is a man in position of power, he's still the Shedi Naresh. What kind of havoc is he going to do on the world? So speech is also an index of the consciousness of a human being. Through speech, we get to know whether he's a liar, he is an instrument of falsehood or not. That's why it is said, better stay silent, lest you speak. You may be called a whatever. So sometimes, as they say, silence is golden. Because when you speak, you are let out. So the moment you speak, you reveal who you are inside. It begins to define you. And the moment you know, this is so dangerous. A man who has come for no reason. He has no personal enmity. Actually, his mama, whom Krishna has slain, at the end of the day is his mama and he had done all kinds of misdeeds. But you are trying to misuse an authority. You are a guest. You are trying to misuse that authority to hurl abuses on Krishna. You are a dangerous person. And a dangerous person will today or tomorrow be dangerous not only towards Krishna but to all that stands for nobility and truth and goodness. How will world progress if we allow this kind of a thing? This one aspect of free speech. So in Indians' way of life, Sanatana Dharma, there are rules for everything. It's not enough that speech be free. Speech should be truthful. Satyam vada. Speech should lead you on the path of dharma, dharma, chara. And speech should be pleasant. You can oppose, there is no problem. But oppose with facts. Protest which is just shouting, gesticulating, that's hooliganism. Oppose with facts. These are the facts. You have done this, this, this. Have an open debate like the Greek assemblies, perfectly fine. But you see, most of these people are afraid of these debates. Why? Because they know that the lie will be called out. Third, you are using speech as a weapon. Speech is a very powerful thing. Why? Because the average masses are influenced by speech. Imagine Hitler's free speech led to the doom of a continent. Hitler was doing nothing. He was just speaking freely. What did he do actually speaking? If you see that way. He aroused a whole mankind along a certain lines and people followed him. So it's important to understand that speech has a creative power. That's how Sanatana Dharma looks at it. And a destructive power. Its importance in everyday life is well known. So there is a code of speech. It's not just about free speech. In dharma, it's not like a rule book. Rule book doesn't say, for instance, if you use abusive language, just like that, people use all kinds of words, unspeakable, and it's considered, there's nothing illegal about it. That's how people say. But since Sanatana Dharma, it's not about legality. It's about debasing your consciousness or uplifting your consciousness. That is dharma. So when you use a language which is not only abusive but harsh, ignoble, what are you doing? You are debasing your own consciousness. That means you have become an instrument to spread not only lie and hatred, but also you have become an instrument to spread debasing consciousness. Consciousness which is very dark, and this consciousness will find its instrument. This consciousness is bound to have an effect far and wide. And even a nation which allows such things, it is going to destroy that. Because you are allowing this kind of a consciousness to spread. So in Indian thought, in Sanatana Dharma, we go back to consciousness. It's not about free speech, but the consciousness that is being emanated through speech. The motive that is hiding behind it, whether it's truthful or not truthful, whether it is even truth, you can say it like an arrow or it can be pleasant. That's why Ramayana is so important. Even when Ram is fighting his arch enemy, enemy in the sense who has taken away Sita, and he is so much harassment for everybody, Rama never loses a cool. He tells, puts Ravan in his place. And then he meets the challenge. But he never lets loose a, you know, loose word, loose cannon from his mouth. Because he knows that this is, if I do this, I'll kill Ravan, but my speech will create 10 more Ravanas. So free speech should be one with dharma. And the purpose of dharma is to hold the march of civilizations together rather than destroy, break. Imagine the world today is moving towards a grand unity. And there are forces which in the name of free speech are threatening that unity. All kinds of divides they are creating. Well, mental rule wise, maybe giving an abuse on the road, shouting is acceptable. But in Sanatana Dharma, it is not acceptable. So how are we going to handle this? Is a person who is abusing. So that's where this dharma should be incorporated somewhere in the way a society functions. And that's where red lines. Not that red line should be everywhere a red line. But this should be red lines. For instance, if you abuse a woman. Now these are coming through a back door. It's not acceptable. You can't be doing that. If you use a foul language, you have freedom of speech. Speak the truth. But if you are caught, your lie is caught, then there should be a way to address it or redress it. You can't be spreading lies through taking advantage of free speech. Because speaking lies is not considered, illegal. So these are things which must come into, I won't use the word constitution, it's a very weird term, but into the way a nation handles. And I am reminded of something which the mother said. India is the only land where the psychic law can and must prevail, and the time has come for that. It's somewhere in 70s. Psychic law is literally dharma. It is not rule book and constitution which will allow all kinds of things. But dharma, is it consistent with dharma? That's why it is Sanatana Dharma. So free speech is fine. But we must know absolute freedom doesn't exist at a mental level and vital level. There will be a red line. What would be the way of creating this red line? Not that you have spoken against the Pope or the priest or the mullah. Doesn't matter. You can do that. Or you don't follow a particular way of life. You are free to do that. And speak about it. You can say that I don't like Hinduism because of this, this, this. You can say I don't like Islam. It's perfectly fine. No issues about it. But if you start using abusive language and start using this free speech to spread lies, rancor, nowadays it has come, hate speech, but hate speech is a very, hate speech is not enough. It is coming through the back door. What about speech which is spreading all kinds of malicious ill will? Because unfortunately, there are many human beings who will be unwittingly caught because they are gullible people. They don't have the, recently someone met Kavita in Shabda, and this lady was all, she has come, you know, with Kirpan and all, coming from Punjab. So Punjab meets Punjab. one staunch pro-Khalistani, the other is staunch nationalist. And she asks, what is happening? Kavita chhed diya usko, kya ho raha hai? Oh, so much wrongs have been done against us. So she said, what wrongs have been done against you? We had Sikh Prime Minister even recently. We had six president. We had six in every commanders in chief. So what wrongs are you? No, it has been done. Now what happens when there is lies which is spread? As they say, when you speak a lie too frequently, people mistake it for truth, because most people do not have either the rational faculty or ability to check and cross-check. So it's so important to understand that yes, free speech is good, but it should be exercised keeping dharma in mind. In simple words, it means truth is important. Pleasantness, something which is does not evoke reactions, that is important, and its effect is important. Whether this effect is going to be destructive of a whole way of life, or this effect is going to be constructive. So that's why it is one thing to seek a relative autonomy and quite another to seek a separate nation state. Namaste.